chapter 12 gives us a series of warnings, and I think we may just go with them for the next few weeks. The first warning that we'll look at this morning is beware of hypocrisy. The second warning is beware of covetousness. The third one is beware of worry. Don't worry about it. The fourth one is beware of unfaithfulness. And it seems like the whole chapter ends up with this exhortation, kind of beware of being unaware. It's kind of be aware instead of unaware as we sum it up. So we're going to look at this, I think, for a few weeks. This morning we want to look at what Jesus has to say about hypocrisy. And we'll begin in chapter 12, verse 1. Bring your Bibles. Somebody next to you doesn't have one. Don't be afraid to share with them. If they feel uncomfortable, they'll bring their own so that you'll leave them alone. And that's what we want them to do, is bring their Bibles. We don't want them to be uncomfortable. We want them to bring their Bibles. It's not right to want anybody to be uncomfortable. I say as you fan yourself. Chapter 12, verse 1 says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, preeminent, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in the darkness shall be heard in the light. That which you have spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more they can do." And by the way, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to be concerned, because there is in your life an after that. You just haven't gotten there yet. But there are those who can only kill the body, and after that they can't do anything else to you. You need to be concerned about what happens after that. "But I will forewarn you of whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed has power, authority to cast into Gehenna, into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. He that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you into synagogues and magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what thing you shall answer or what you shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say." Jesus, as he begins this series of warnings, coming to the end of his ministry, realizing the time's coming when the guys are going to be out on their own after the crucifixion and resurrection, he gives them this series of warnings. And it's in face of, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees who are there. Chapter 11, if you read through on your own, kind of gives us, paints the backdrop. It's the same as Matthew 23. And there, over and over again, he said, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You're doing this, you're doing that. You shut up the kingdom of God to other people, and you yourselves are not entering in." And these are the religious leaders of the day, and they're saying, "Nobody has ever talked to us like this before. Nobody has ever railed on us in front of the people. No one has ever roasted the Pharisees in front of the multitude." And Jesus had, you know, Jesus is harder on them. It is the most harsh speech we have on record from Christ, is in this address to the Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes. He never talked to a sinner that way. He never talked to the harlots or the drunkards or the tax gatherers that way. It was to the religious leaders of the day who had set up a religious system and were still going to hell. And they were causing people to follow them in an empty religious system that had no substance behind it. So they themselves were not entering into the kingdom, and they were shutting up the kingdom to others. And Jesus' warning is in the face of the fact that you can be very, very religious in practice and still not saved, still going to hell. And as he then as they're ready to kill him, they're mad. He tells them verse 52, 53 and 54 there. They're trying to provoke him, trying to get him in an argument. Instead, he turns around to the people and it says, there's so many people that trample on top of each other. And he says, look out for these. Don't be like these guys. See these guys over? They're hypocrites. Don't be like them. Not only are they mad at them because he just ripped them up one side down the other, then he turns to the people and says, hey, these guys are phonies. Don't be like these guys. They're hypocrites. And you got to see these guys blowing steam out their ears. And he says to them, hypocrisy is something that we need to be aware of. And by the way, hypocrisy is something that characterizes, we're told by Paul and Jesus and Peter and John, the days that we're living in. Timothy, in Paul to Timothy says that the Spirit says expressly in the last time, perilous time shall come, men shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy. Again, he says to Timothy, there will come those in the last days who hold the form of religion but deny the power of it. It talks about a great apostasy. Well, many will turn away from a biblical apostolic faith to all kinds of phony things that have nothing to do with life, to the fact one day that will all culminate in what the Bible calls the great whore, a great religious system, a great soup pot of all different kinds of faiths that produces no life at all. So hypocrisy is something that we got to look out for. And you know, as I examine my own heart, I see my own tendency towards it. Now, there's a movie out right now called The Mask. I didn't see it. Did you see it? I saw the commercials on TV. And the kind of the gist of it I get from watching the commercials is, and the special effects look pretty amazing, but the gist of it seems to be, here's this guy that's kind of portrayed as a nerd who in and of himself has nothing together, just kind of nothing to hold on to. But with the mask on, he can be anybody. He can do anything. You know, it's his whole identity is the mask. Well, that's hypocrisy. It comes from the word that means to recite your lines on the stage. And it means to be an actor on the stage or to be behind the mask. You know, when you go to the theater, you see those two masks, one with a smile and one with a frown. That's from the Hippocrates, from reciting the lines in the Greek theater is where it's from. And that's what a hypocrite is. It's someone who is more concerned with appearance than reality. Somebody's more concerned with their reputation than the truth. Jesus said to these Pharisees and Sadducees, these religious leaders, he challenged them, and as he talked to his own disciples, he said, when you give alms, when you do good works and give to the poor, don't be like the hypocrites, speaking of the Pharisees, because they love to be seen of men. But when you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Give in secret. Your Father who sees in secret, he'll reward you openly. When you pray, Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites. Same thing, listen. They love to be seen of men. That's a key phrase. And he said, because they stand on the street corners where people can see them praying. When you pray, go into your closet, shut the door. Your Father who sees in secret will take note. He'll reward you openly. When you fast, Jesus says, don't go, don't suck in your cheeks and, what's wrong with you? Oh, I'm fasting. I'm seeking the Lord to just, he says, put your brill cream on, shave your face, smile, take a shower, look good. Try to avoid drawing attention to yourself because that's hypocrisy. They do it to be seen of men, but your Father takes notice. He'll reward you for those things. And there's that attitude of slipping on the mask, putting on the mask and being more concerned about the appearance of things than what is really going on. Now, look what he says in verses 2 or 3. Jesus says, there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness, it shall be heard in the light. And that which has been spoken in the ear in the closet shall be proclaimed in the housetops. What Jesus said is the mask is coming off. There is a day coming when God Almighty is going to rip the mask off of this world, off of man's system. All the facade will be gone, and what will be left will be the thing that will be weighed in the balances. The mask is coming off. And there's a day coming when there isn't anything that's hid that won't be brought up. There's no such thing as secret sin, and every word that's spoken in jest and in foolishness and in vile anger, it's all going to come out in the open for everybody to hear. Now, take note of this. Jesus is not saying that he is going to parade forgiven sin in front of the universe. The idea is, for the believer, our sins are not covered by a mask, but by the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, God has no plan in the future to take, you know, every argument you ever had with your wife or your husband and put on a megaphone for all the angels in the universe to hear the things you said when nobody was around and watch the angels go, ooh, and faint, you know. It's not saying that. What he's saying is hypocrisy does not pay in the long run. It does not deliver what it promises, because it will be ripped away someday. And there isn't anything that's hid that's not going to come out in the open. There's anything that's said in secret that's not going to be revealed. Hypocrisy will be exposed for what it really is. The mask, you know, that ugly green mask the guy's getting, it's all going to get ripped off. I'm glad they made that movie now. And then he says something interesting. Let's read verses 4 to 7. I say unto you, my friends. Now, this is a strange thing to say to your friends, by the way. It's in contrast to the Pharisees. This is what you say to your friends. Don't be afraid of people that can kill the body. You know, the lion will chew on you for a little while. Before you know it, it'll be over. You know? And you got to understand, most of these guys listening to him were martyred. You know, they'll burn you at the stake in a few minutes. It's all over, you know, up in a flash, it's all over with, you know. You know, it's an interesting thing to read, isn't it? I mean, here we are sitting here this morning and reading, don't be afraid of those guys who can kill the body. Oh, no, I wasn't anyway. I don't even know why you said it. Be not afraid of them that can kill the body. He's going to make a point. And after that, that's the key. There's an after that. There's something that happens after the body's dead, because the spirit of man is eternal. And after that, they don't have anything else they can do. I will tell you who to be afraid of. Fear him which after he has killed has authority to cast into hell, Gehenna. I say unto you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, for a cent? Not one of them is forgotten before God, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. That's what he said. By the way, the average head has 140,000 hairs on it. I didn't count them. I read it in a book. When I read those things, I think, who has the time to do a survey, and come up with this figure? This guy had this many, but the average is 140,000 hairs. And it says here they're all numbered. Some of you make that job much easier for God than others, of course. It doesn't say they're counted. It says in the Greek, every one of them individually has a number on it. God knows them by number. So when a hair falls out of your head, God says, oh, there goes number 2,342. You understand what I'm saying? He knows each one individually. They are numbered. And he keeps track of them. That's a tough job, because every time you comb your hair, he's got to reevaluate. Some of you losing hair, worrying about what people think. Some of you lose hair, getting gray away, because you don't want people to think that you're as old as you are. But the idea is, it is a current and constant concern for him to know them by number and keep track of them. And what he's saying is the sparrows, you know, the Bible tells us that God laid out the universe with the span of his hand, the space between the thumb and the index finger. That's how he laid out the universe. It tells us the very heavens themselves cannot contain him. Psalm 8 says, the sun, when I behold the sun, the moon, the stars, the work of thy fingers. What is man that thou art mindful of him? It says the heavens, you know, thou hast set thy glory above the heavens, yet out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. But you know what it says is, Lord, your glory, your person, your majesty, the universe can't contain you, and yet somehow you can get a 3-year-old to sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, and mean it. Lord, the heavens, the universe itself cannot contain you, and somehow you can be personal enough to minister to the heart of babes and sucklings, of little children. More than that, here he says he knows the sparrows. And if you think that's something small, he says more than that. He knows the hairs on your head by number. He takes more intricate care of you, and you're way more valuable than the sparrows. So he says, if you're going to stand, and I think the key thing here is, in these four verses, it mentions fear five times. And it contrasts fear of man with fear of God. And what it's saying, Jesus is saying, hypocrisy comes to bear on our lives most often through fear as a vehicle. Being afraid of what people think. And it's because we're afraid of what people think that we get that green mask out and slap it on, you know. Well, what do they think of this? What do they think if I fail? What do they think if I do this? What do they think if I say I'm a Christian? What do they think if I don't go there anymore? What do they think if I do this? You know, and we're so afraid of what people think, and we all have this tremendous need, it seems, to belong and be part of something, that we all want to look like our generation and dress like our generation. We all, you know, we want to be part, and that's not necessarily wrong, but the wrong thing is when you and I struggle, and we all struggle with sin, we all struggle with the old man, that some of us struggle with that in light of God, and that's the right way to do it, caring about what God thinks in awe of him. Some of us struggle with our weaknesses afraid of man and what man thinks. And he says that's the wrong thing. It produces hypocrisy. It makes us put on the mask. And I have a tendency to do that, you know, because we all have a persona, you know, we all have, and then we don't know, I can't do that. I wouldn't want them to know that I, you know, well, I couldn't act like that. Or you do something stupid and think, gee, I hope nobody saw me because everybody thinks this is what I am. You know, I remember listening to a tape, Chuck Smith coming back from Israel several years ago. And he was in the last aisle on the plane of the non-smoking section, and the smoking section started behind him. And he said the guy behind him was smoking a cigar, and it was making him sick, and it would just bother him. Finally, he turned around and I said, look, buddy, this cigar, it stinks. It's making me sick. Could you please cut me a break? We're going to be on this plane. You know, it's 11 hours from Tel Aviv to New York and then to L.A. from there. Could you cut me a break? And he said the guy just looked at him, so he turned around. He said the guy started blowing the smoke across his shoulder. So he said, I'm thinking, in one move, I can turn around and jam his thing down his throat. He said, before he, I'm in my 60s, but I got enough left in me that before he realizes, I can bash this thing down, you know. And then he said, the Lord's saying to him, Chuck, you're a famous pastor. You're a Christian man. You can't, you know. And he's going, oh, Lord, that's right. He keeps it up and it's bothered me. He said, then I'm thinking, I'll get him after we get our luggage, I'll follow him. And when nobody's around, I'm going to kill this guy, you know. And just, you go through these, and all of us, you know, wrestle with some kind of shortcut we would like to take, but we can't because we got the mask, you know, who we are. And even as believers, we wrestle with that. Well, he says one of the keys to it is, look, you can't be afraid of what men think. If you're going to be afraid of consequences, be afraid of the consequences that can come from the hand of God, because they're eternal. The worst situation with man is that he can kill you, but he ain't killing you. He's just putting the body to death. And how we respond, I think, so much of the time by what people are going to think. We're afraid of it. The Bible says the fear of man bringeth a snare. It says it's like leaven. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And when you start to determine your behavior by what people are going to think, and you start to play a little bit with phoniness, what happens with leaven? It begins to permeate everything you do. And then there's a little bit of phoniness attached to everything that you do because you've learned to be comfortable in that zone. And what he's saying here is, look out for hypocrisy. It has that kind of leaven to it. And we're afraid. What are they going to think? Our pride is attached. What are they going to think if they find out this about me? Or we think, oh no, they just called up. They're coming. You know, somebody calls up and they want to come over to the house. And you're thinking, oh great. And you go, oh yeah, that's wonderful. You're going to stop. Oh good. And you're going, oh, I can't believe I didn't let the phone miner get it. You know, and you're thinking, you're welcome to come. You just stop over. I thought maybe I'll warn you. 3-year-old got bubonic plague. We just found out. But just come over. So it's welcome. You know. And we've all got these kind of little maneuvering things. And it's just a little bit of dishonesty. It doesn't hurt anybody. You know, you're still working. You can come over. Or you know, what might we lose if we're honest? What might happen in a relationship or with a group of people we hang around with if we say, I'm a Christian now, I can't do that anymore. I can't do the things I used to do. It's not right. I love Jesus, and as the Bible calls it, sin. And think of what we might lose if we don't quick get out the mask and put it on. Or think of how we can play the religious game and have the one-way salt and pepper shakers and the bumper stickers and Bibles all over our house and, you know, you know, fight with our wife all the way to church and walk in. Somebody says, how you doing? Oh, fine. We put the mask on. Oh, great. Praise the Lord. You know, she's out in a car with a black eye, you know. And Jesus is warning, because we can have the tendency, you're laughing because you all understand it. We can have the tendency, and that's hypocrisy, to put on the mask, to play the religious game, to do the religious thing without having as much substance to our lives as we portray to other people that we do have. And he's warning against that. And you know what? To be delivered from that, he says the one thing that really delivers us from the fear of man, if we understand it properly, is the fear of God. The fear of God, it tells us in Psalm 19, verse 9, is clean. It says that perfect love, 1 John 4:18, cast out fear, because fear has torment. The love of God towards us. And that's what Jesus is saying. You need to fear somebody. Fear the one who loves you. He not only holds your life in the eternal balances, he knows every hair on your head. He's intimately involved with your life, your every step, your every thought. He cares about what you think. You're important to him. If you're going to be intimidated or stand in awe of someone, don't let it be men. That never pays off. Interesting, Job mentions hypocrisy more than all the other Old Testament books combined. He says this about hypocrisy. He says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my ways before him. He also shall be my salvation. For a hypocrite shall not come before him. Again, he says, knowest thou not this of old, since man was placed upon the earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. And because Jesus knows what hangs in the balances in regards to hypocrisy and fear of man, he encourages them to be in awe and fear of God, and not to be afraid of or be phony about their commitment to the true and living God. So he says this in verse 8, I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels. He says it comes down to two choices. That's confessing Christ or denying Christ. And in the case of the unbeliever, there are so many, and maybe you're sitting here this morning and don't know Christ personally, yet in your heart, what you see, what you hear, what you're sensing, you know it's true. But you got on the mask, and you're afraid to rip it off. You're afraid to be honest even with yourself when you face your own emptiness, because you know that to confess Christ, somebody's going to hassle you. Some religious relatives are going to say, you're going to the mall, or, you know, whatever. I mean, you're going to have to pay a price. Your friends are going to may turn their back on you. There may be a cost in regards to the people you like to rub shoulders with. Well, Jesus said it narrows down to confessing Christ. That means agreeing with, saying the same thing, be in agreement with the scriptures and with God, or denying. Those are the only two ways to go. That's why he says, don't be afraid of man. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before all of heaven, the angels, the cherubim, the throne of God. If you're afraid of man more than God, you deny me. What hangs in the balance is eternity. And he knows the tendency of a human sometimes to turn away from eternity because he's afraid of what people think. Now look, he brings that, I believe, completely to the front in verse 11, when he's verse 10, when he says, whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Now look, there is obviously a... Scholars argue about the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, and in one sense, it could only have been committed when Christ was on the earth, in the sense that the Pharisees and Sadducees were watching Jesus with their own eyeballs. They were watching the miracles take place in front of their eyes. They had the witness of the Holy Ghost in their heart telling them that this was the Messiah, and they were refusing to listen to the Holy Spirit, and Jesus said, you're coming close to blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And the idea was, as there was conviction there in their hearts, they knew the Old Testament, that the eyes of the blind were being opened, the lame were walking, and yet they were refusing to acknowledge Christ, and they were attributing his acts to Satan. That, in that sense, can't be reproduced, because he's not here physically on the earth now. But in the sense of an unpardonable sin, it still exists today, and the unpardonable sin is not accepting Jesus Christ. Sin will not keep you out of heaven. I know, because I got some and I'm going. Sin does not keep a man out of heaven. What keeps a man out of heaven is not accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, because whatever sin is on your account, if you accept Christ, it's washed away and it's gone. But there may be a cost, you see, because sometimes it's easier to throw on the mask and act the act and play the role. I mean, in this world, we say, oh, he really got his act together. Well, what kind of mask did he put on? Because there's emptiness behind it without Jesus. And if we live in fear of man instead of fear of God, we can go on that way kidding ourselves. But if we understand what hangs in the balances, we're willing to stand up for the Lord and confess him before men, he says we'll be confessed before all of heaven. The two outcomes is the one man is refusing the testimony of the Holy Ghost, the unbeliever, the conviction in his heart that he needs to turn to Christ, and he either has to confess or deny. There's no middle ground, because the Holy Ghost not let that person get away with saying, oh, Jesus was a guru or a great teacher. Baloney. Because that individual knows in his heart that he has come to a crossroads mentally and emotionally and spiritually, where he has to make a choice. To deny Christ is to be denied. To accept Christ and confess him is to be confessed by him before heaven. To dismiss the Holy Ghost and the conviction he's trying to bring in your life is to be lost forever. To accept Jesus Christ and stand up for him presents a different set of problems. But they're temporary. Men might kill you. No big deal. That's what it says. Look at verse 11 and 12. When they bring you the synagogues, the magistrates, the powers, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what to say. Now, by the way, if you're interested in being in the ministry, these verses do not apply to sermon preparation. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about being called on a carpet for Jesus, because one guy is rejecting the ministry of the Holy Spirit in his life. The other guy has stood up for Christ, so he's going to face his hassle in this world. The other guy's going to face his hassle in eternity because he's refused Christ. He'll never be forgiven. The person who's forgiven doesn't fit in this world. So when you're called on the carpet for Jesus, whether it's with your classmates, whether it's in school, whether it's before the courts, wherever it is, he says, because you have been with me, because you're not a hypocrite, because you're afraid of me instead of afraid of man, because you are willing to confess me, when they call you on the carpet, they're calling me on a carpet. When they mess with you, they're messing with me. And because you stuck with me, when you're in the spot, I will be with you. That's what it's saying. Now, some of you experience this in your life. If you're a believer, you know those times when you're walking down a street and somebody comes up to you and they start to talk to you about, ask questions about Jesus, and you know you got one on the hook there, you know. And all of a sudden, all this stuff starts to flow out of you, all these verses you normally can't remember, and you just smoke the guy, you know, and you walk away. You think, man, I was good, man. I was hot. I didn't know I was that good, you know. It just because it all just flows out. All the verses come up on the screen that you know, you didn't even think you remembered them. And what it is the Bible says the testimony of Jesus the spirit of prophecy, and the Holy Ghost was just moving on you to communicate to someone who's lost the things about Jesus, his forgiveness, and his kingdom. Well, it happens in the same way when we stand up for Christ and we're put on the spot. In the very same way, Jesus says he will come in that hour, give you the things to say too. Now, this is important. Look, if you don't know Christ this morning, you need Jesus. You need to get saved before you leave. I don't know who brought you here. If you just wandered in, God really loves you. This is the strangest place you ever wandered in. If somebody brought you, they love you, and Jesus loves you. Don't leave without praying with that person, and come up and pray with us. We'll give you a Bible, give you some literature to read. For those of us that are believers, look, we all have this tendency towards hypocrisy. I do too. I think that's why he's warning. The days we're living in are characterized by it. The phoniness, the putting on of the mask, the persona without any real substance. Look how empty a whole generation is again. And you know what? I think if it goes on, you see, again, when I look at America, it's only going to get harder. The longer the Lord tarries, the more we are going to be pigeonholed. Every time somebody gets shot in an abortion center, they put that on your record in their mind. Even though we're against it, we think the guy that did it is a nut. It doesn't matter. You are a Bible-believing Christian, narrow-minded, bigoted loony. That's who you are in their minds. And it isn't wrong to be homosexual anymore. It isn't wrong to be in fornication anymore. It isn't wrong to have incest anymore. It isn't wrong to do this. It's wrong. What's wrong today is to say to someone else, that's sin. And if you don't repent, you're not going to be saved. That is wrong today. So it isn't wrong to be mentally ill today, to be a lunatic. It's wrong to be sane. It's wrong to say to somebody, I can tell the difference between black and white, and I know the difference between wrong and right. That's not right to do today, because when you say something's wrong, you're infringing on somebody's right. You may have to make the choice before all this is over whether you want to be politically correct and afraid of man, or whether you want to stand up for Jesus Christ and tell the truth.
Amen.
Now, I don't know how far it's going to go. Personally, I'm praying. I'm a no-hassle kind of guy. I want to sing songs and get raptured. Sometimes I have a feeling it may not go that way. And the pressure will come on us one way or another, this week, next week, and in the years to come. And we will always have the chance to pull out that ugly green mask and slap it on and act like something we're not to escape the pressure. Or to stand up for Jesus Christ. And if we let a little in, little leaven leavens the whole lump. Let's stand and pray.